my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience through looking at the readings, the daily readings at Mass. And of course, as this is Word of God Wednesday, we're taking a look at the readings for Palm Sunday, or officially as it's called, Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion. And a very interesting, you know, if your church will do this, there's a usually a procession with palms, and there's a separate gospel for the procession with the palms. And then when you enter into the church, Mass begins with the regular reading. So that's what we're going to take a look at today. We're going to take a look at Psalm 22 within the context of the reading. So the first reading is from Isaiah. Isaiah arguably is the most prominent prophet in the Old Testament. He's the longest for sure, 66 chapters in Isaiah. And today's first reading is from chapter 50. And this is the beginning of the suffering servant narrative, which goes for several chapters in Isaiah. And so, again, I think this is very allegorical, this section of Isaiah, which is, again, allegorical means it's looking and pointing toward Christ. And I think this reading very much says that, particularly when focusing on the suffering of Christ, hence the name suffering servant, part of this of the readings from Isaiah here. So it says, "The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue." So again, pointing to Jesus and his public ministry of preaching and teaching, "that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them." So we see how Jesus gave hope to the hopeless, called out the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes on their hypocrisy, you know, gave people love and hope through his power, forgiveness, and his healing word, and the healing power of the miracles that he did as well. "Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear. I have not rebelled. I have not turned back." And here we have the suffering servant piece. "I gave my back to those who beat me," of course, referring to the scourging, "my cheeks to those who pluck my beard." You know, especially if you remember that scene from the Passion of the Christ, where he's standing before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, and they're slapping him and spitting on him and just punching him. "My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting." We saw that very clearly. "The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame." You know, boy, it's powerful imagery here from Isaiah, clearly pointing toward Jesus and the suffering he's about to endure in his passion. And I think it's a wonderful lesson for each and every one of us. You know, what do? When people mock us for standing up for our Catholic faith, when we stand up for children in the womb who are made in the image and likeness of God, who deserve our care and our respect and our attention, to be treated like human beings, because they are human beings, not blobs of tissue, not parasites, as this culture, as they try to justify the taking of innocent life in the womb. You know, and when we get attacked for standing up for marriage between a man, one man and one woman, and any children they may have together, which is the heart, the soul, the center, the foundation, the nucleus of civilization, culture, and society. When we stand up for the truth that men are actually males and women are actually females. You know, we speak the truth when Jesus, when God says in Genesis 1:27, male and female, he created them. Zakar unibekwa bara otam. You know, we see the truth that God has revealed to us. And when this culture pushes back on that truth, you know, we have a tendency to cower. We have a tendency to pull back. We have a tendency to keep our mouths shut, you know, because we're afraid. We're afraid of being rebuked. We're afraid of being attacked. We're afraid of not being accepted. You know, and so what do? We just we pull back, and when we do that, we mock the cross, we mock the suffering that Jesus endured for us. We mock the martyrs who gave their lives in the early church rather than deny Jesus. We need to expect to be challenged, to be pushed, to be ridiculed, to be scorned, because that's what this crooked and depraved generation, as St. Paul says, or as Jesus himself says, this adulterous and sinful generation. Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. So, expect to be persecuted. It comes with the territory. Just deal with it. And don't run away from it. We need to be more bold. Not being in people's face, but just again, we need to do like Jesus, give our backs to those who beat us, our faces those who pluck our beards, our faces to buffets and spitting. And then, of course, we'll talk about the gospel today, obviously. And now there's going to be, of course, we know there's two renderings of the Passion of Christ. There's the one that we're going to celebrate this Palm Sunday, which is from Matthew's gospel, and then the other one's going to be from John's gospel for Good Friday. But for now, obviously, we're going to be talking about Matthew's gospel as part of our Word of God Wednesday. But then, of course, the psalm is Psalm 22, that the messianic psalm of fulfillment. This is the psalm, I guess I would say the psalm of all psalms, because this one was written by David, 700 plus years before Jesus was even born. And Jesus, the refrain, of course, is the first line from the psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or the translation we're going to have in Mass is, why have you abandoned me? And of course, we know that God did not abandon his son on the cross. Then why was Jesus praying this psalm? He was praying this psalm for two reasons. One, as I said a few minutes ago, it is a messianic psalm of fulfillment. In other words, it's a psalm that points directly to Jesus. Again, written by David 700 plus years before he was even born. So what else does this psalm say? It says, many dogs have surrounded me. A pack of evildoers closes in upon me. So it's about the soldiers, who were administering the scourging and the execution of Jesus by crucifixion. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They have divided my garments among them. For my vestures, they cast lots. So again, this is happening at the cross. And Jesus praying this psalm to let all the people know that are there that this psalm written by David is being fulfilled in your presence. That's why he's praying that psalm. Now, the Matthew records the first line of that psalm that Jesus says, but he would have prayed the entire psalm from the cross. So this is showing that I am the one that David was speaking about, that this psalm is being fulfilled, that salvation is coming to you right now from the cross. He was also praying that psalm because, again, it's a messianic psalm of fulfillment. What's being fulfilled? Christ's victory over sin and death. That this is the psalm that's speaking about the door that's going to be open to you, that's going to lead to eternal life. That door was closed. Remember, Adam, Eve, Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, Jacob, Joseph, Saint Joseph, all of those people were in Sheol, the abode of the dead, waiting for Jesus to come to rescue them, waiting all those millennium for Jesus to come and pull them out, which he will do on Holy Saturday, go down to those souls and pull them out and release them to allow them to come to heaven. So this is also a psalm of hope, especially if you look toward the end of the psalm. It's very much a psalm of hope. Jesus is showing that not even death, which is the worst effect of sin, is more powerful than God's love, is more powerful than God's life. And so for us as Catholics, when we look at that crucifix, when we look at the broken body of Jesus on the cross, of course, we know that Jesus is no longer there. He's at the right hand of the Father. We recount that when we pray the Creed every Sunday. When we look at that cross, that is a sign of hope. That is a sign of salvation. And that is a sign that the passion that Palm Sunday is pointing toward, our ultimate salvation in Him.
For more on the Psalms with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.